watching a TV show, and at the end of it, somebody had died, and somebody said, well, maybe they ought to get the bagpipes out and sing Amazing Grace. Well, I don't like the bagpipes. So they all poured them a glass of wine. Then somebody sung Amazing Grace, and I thought, no, that don't go together. At least I played it in the appropriate place.
Thing is, with what she just said, that's pretty well accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just all right. It's all right. Mm-hmm. How much y'all are ready to put it down?
Good. Yeah.
That's how y'all say it.
I spent a long time since I've been to a funeral that somebody hadn't went to heaven. I don't make that mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I know that's not the case.
Yes.
I want everybody to go. It's God's will that everyone not perish. But unfortunately, that's our choices. So good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to be here. Always good to be at God's house. Thought this week that I had is, the title of the thought is On the Wheel, W-H-E-L-E-E-L, and In the Wheel, W-I-L-L. Recently I had a thought about the potter's wheel and the piece of clay that is placed upon it. As I thought about that, one simple thing came to mind. Before the potter could form the clay had to be on the wheel. The Bible says in Jeremiah 18:3-4, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought at work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good the potter to make it. And I begin to think about myself as a Christian. I am the clay, and God is the potter. But just as the clay must be in the wheel be formed, I must stay in the will of God if I'm going to allow Him to form me into what He wants me to be. Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou art the potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. I cannot expect God to shape me, teach me, mature me, or make me into what He wants me to be if I'm constantly resisting His direction and stepping outside His will. The clay does not determine how the potter molds it. And once it is on the wheel, the clay does not control which direction the wheel turns. It simply remains in the potter's hand. There are many times when I do not understand what God is doing in my life. I may not understand the direction He's leading me or why things are happening the way they are. But if I'm going to be formed by Him, I have to remain where He is working. So the question is, am I on the wheel? And am I in the will of God? Because I cannot expect to become everything God desires for me to become while I'm living outside His will. So my prayer should be like David's prayer in Psalms 143:10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. The clay must stay on the wheel, and I must stay in God's will, so the potter can continue to do his work in me.
Yeah.
Good to be here this morning. See all y'all gathered out. Have anything, prayer request or anything before we go any further?
I appreciate what you said on it, but that's the thing is, the will of God is just the center of the wheel. Because if you ain't in the center of the wheel, He still can't move you because it's everywhere. Now, what makes it so good to me is I studied up on some of this. Is the clay has to be pliable to be able to be formed. In other words, it has to be able to be worked with.
Yes.
if we in a place and we ain't able to be worked with, there ain't much he can do with us.
Yes, sir, Lord.
But he knows what to apply. Because if it ain't real pliable, you know what he does? He adds a little bit of water. He pats his hands in some water. He don't just gather it on it. He pats his hands and puts his hands back on it. And that's how the Spirit works. When his hands come down with the Spirit, it starts touching him. And you right in the center of that wheel, he can form, he can mold, because you're pliable at the time.
Yeah.
You know, we're not on the edge. We're not just hanging on for dear life. We're in a place. And there's a certain place that you have to be before the Spirit can really use you the way that it wants to.
Yes.
You know, but sometimes we just get so satisfied that I'm not dishing on that, I appreciate it. But you can be right on the edge of the wheel and he's just going to hit you every once in a while because he's just going to come around. But you right in the center, he's at a place he can pump both hands.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you ever been to a place where you had both hands on you. But I mean, that's a special place to be.
Yes,
but if we'll keep ourselves to where we can be just pliable, to where he can just form and mold. Because all these vessels ain't the same size. They ain't the same thing. I've even preached this before. There's some of them that after later on that they might get in the kiln and they get, and they might have a crack in it. You go in some people's house and you see some little pots with little cracks in it. If you see it, you know what? They didn't throw it away. They still found a use for it. They got something or other in that they're using it for. And I'm glad that through my life, if there's a crack to come, Jeff, that's God ain't just told me away that he still found some sort of a use out of me. But I'm glad that there's such a feeling, and I don't know why we won't let ourselves just get to the center of the wheel a lot of times. It's easy said. It's easy that we say, oh, the only thing you have to do is just get. But then we get home, like I said, having such a great meeting. When I get home, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be right on top of the mountain. I'm going to continue this. And then I'm going to wait till my show goes off. Then I'm going to rest here just a few minutes. And I'll start scooting to the edge of the wheel a little bit. But if we'll get ourselves right in the center of the wheel, because you know there's actually a dot in the center of that wheel. That potter knows where the center is. And that's where he works from the center. And I appreciate what you said, but if nothing else, I'll say this, at least stay on the wheel. But if you get to the center, he can really do his work. I appreciate the thought.
You have one question, Brother Bruce. Appreciate that.
Because I tell you, when you go somewhere and you start looking, you start buying something, and you say, they're asking this much for it. Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's a price on me that God paid for me that one day that is so high that I couldn't be able to afford to pay it. But I'm going to tell you, he sent a son one day down here that he made a way that he came into this. He came into this vessel. He just don't mold it. But he comes in and he takes some bold up in it. He bought it with a price that I couldn't ever afford. We couldn't ever afford it. But if we just stay right there in the wheel of God, we would stay in the center of the wheel of God, and he would get all glory. It'd be amazing of how much glory that he could get out of each and every one of us.
Amen.
You don't buy the vessel on the wheel.
No.
There's a time in life you become a vessel.
Yes. That's what he
does. Go to the New Testament and you'll find it. He'll tell you about the vessels in the house.
Anybody else? Prayer? Testimony?
Sweet Spirit.
a prayer request. All unspoken, we raise a hand. Brother Jeff, you'll lead us while we pray.
Dear Heavenly God, the Father, Lord, we come at this morning with a heart, Lord, that you find God in the day. Father, Lord, we pray for the opportunity to walk with all the American people themselves. We pray for the opportunity to be placed with him.
Y'all didn't come to hear me sing.
Bless him, Lord.
And I'm going to be quite frank with you. I'm not going to sing much, but I'm going to sing one.
Bless him, Lord.
And then we're going to read some scripture. There's we preach it all the time that we ought to just mind the Lord.
Amen.
So I'm going to eat some of my own preaching.
Yep.
Mind the Lord.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I feel too good this morning, to be quite frank with you. I wish that my throat was clear, but it's not. So you just bear with us. Those of you that wasn't here for Sunday school, as we got a Sunday school superintendent, and he likes to talk to us. I'm glad he likes to talk to us. I'm glad the Lord gives him something. I really am. Very important. Very important. You say, preacher, ain't nobody listening. Well, somebody's listening. I get the feeling that way a lot of times when, as a preacher, well, there just ain't nobody listening. You think the Lord ever gets the feeling like that? Think the Lord ever gets to the place that he says, well, I'm a crying.
Yeah.
I'm giving them all I can. They're not listening. They're not listening. I can prove that to you by the Bible. I most certainly can. We was talking about a wheel this morning. Clay. Jeremiah. Was it 18th chapter? Is that what you said? He said like it was a potter. He went down to the potter's house. And he found the clay was marred in the potter's hand. Is that what you said? That's what the Bible says. That marred clay. He told us a little bit about being on the wheel. Brother Bruce got up. I'm just going to rehash it. I can't help it. And he said that clay had to be in the center of the wheel. The center of the wheel for that potter to mold. Now this may not have anything to do with anything, but I'm just rehashing a little bit about what I heard this morning. And it might not have been for you, and it might be for me, but if I rehearse it, I might get more out of it. I feel like it, just to be honest with you, that's what I feel like doing. I'm going to sing you a song. I just told Leroy, and this is something that you need to pay a little bit of a close attention to. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to get on that wheel. And Bruce said you had to be in the center. You couldn't be out on the edge. You couldn't. If you was out on the edge, you'd just get a pat every now and again. I'm going to tell you something. You out on the edge, he can't mold you. He cannot mold you. The potter cannot mold the clay on the edge of the wheel. Amen. Cannot. I believe it'd be impossible. Amen. You've got to be in the center to where God can work with you. Not only that, in your life, you're going to have to tune your life to where God can make a perfect vessel out of you. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. But I'll promise you something, folks, and you read it, study it all you want to, that vessel does not stay on the wheel. No, sir. After a while, Crafton, he's made exactly what he wants to or what he can. You talk to any potter, they'll tell you it ain't up to them altogether every time how they finish that thing. A lot of work in it. A lot of work in it. You think God's put a lot of work in you? You think he's took his time, my friend, to try to persuade you to be a good vessel? You go to the New Testament, and brethren, he said there's vessels of all kinds in a house. That not, yes, sir, wood vessels. Clay vessels. But he said, let a vessel that you ought to be a vessel. You ought to be a vessel meet for the master's use. Now I'm going to get down to my message. You listen. You say, preacher, it had nothing to do. Brethren, they every potter that's ever made a vessel has a good kiln.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. Has a good kiln. Yes, it does. Can I ask you a question? No, I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm going to read you some scripture. I may not sing. You say, preacher, it ain't time for you. I've got news for you. Sometimes, my friend, the right time is just when he impresses. You to do so. You can sing after a while. Can't help it. I'm going to read you some scripture. I'm going to read you some scripture you're going to like, and I'm going to read you some you ain't going to like. Preacher, you can't say that. Yes, I can. There's things. The Bible says, third chapter of the book of St. Matthew. I'm going to start with the fifth verse. Says, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly, is what it says, purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Book of Acts. Going to start with the first verse, second chapter. Second chapter, the first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Zechariah. You bear with us. Ezekiel. No, Zechariah. You just bear with me. Just a second. I'm going to read it to you. Just bear with me. Mine marked the wrong place. Might have. Thirteenth chapter. Going to start with the fifth verse. Well, I'm going to read the first verse, then I'll drop down to the fifth. Said, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Fifth verse. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. 1 Corinthians. You bear with us. I may not do nothing to read to you. Quite frankly, I don't know what I'm going to do, but we're going to try our best. Do that, we feel the Lord's laid upon our hearts. Starting with the sixth verse, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. Now that's all I'll read, I think, at the moment. So you just pray for us for just a minute. I'm going to try my best to do that. I feel the Lord laid on our hearts, and there's a reason for that of which we have read to you this morning. And not just that, there's a reason, I guess, that we've waited like we have. I'd like to preach to you this morning, God being my helper, about the fire. The Bible says that John was baptizing in that of Jordan. And the scripture says that they had come unto him, all the people, even the Sadducees and the Pharisees and them that was skeptic about him and Jesus. And John said, I indeed baptize thee with water, but there's one coming after me of whom shoe latches I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize thee with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now I'm going to say this, and I want you to just bear with us for just a minute. God help us. I got some more scripture that I'm going to read to you. Lord help me in just a little bit, and I might get around to it, and I might not. Fire. You might say fire. I'm not going through the fire. I'm not going to be any part of the fire. He said, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the Bible says in the book of Acts that when the day of Pentecost had come, that the Holy Ghost had come, but it sat upon each one of them as cloven tongues of fire. Now, as far as you can go back into the scriptures, you'll find out, my friend, that fire was associated, even that with the sacrificial offering that a man offered unto God. The Bible teaches us in the days of Abraham, my friend, that Abraham, God tempted him. It says God tempted Abraham. And he said, Abraham, he said, bring your son, thine only son, Isaac. He said, to a place that I'm going to show you, and there you offer him as a sacrifice. The Bible says that he told two of his men, he said, you get the ashes ready and everything prepared. He said, we're going for a little journey. And the scripture says they went 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey before Abraham saw the mountain that God had told him to go to. On the journey, my friend, Isaac talked to his father Abraham, and he said, Father, he said, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Yeah. Now you might say, preacher, the sacrifice was more important in that. It was, but he knowed it took the fire. It took the fire, my friend. And he knowed they had the fire. He had been around his father Abraham enough, brethren, to know what a sacrifice was. Where is the lamb? And Abraham said, son, said God shall provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Listen, you might as well get associated, brethren, with the fire. With the fire. Bible teaches us that when they offered up sacrifices, that they burnt that sacrifice, and they was burnt offerings given unto God. It had to have a fire. Why is it that he said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire? He separated them. You say, preacher, the fire is the Holy Ghost. Can't be. Can't be. There's some things, my friend, about us that absolutely have to be burned off before the Holy Ghost will ever come in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You may not understand one word I'm going to preach to you, but I'll say this. You'll know something about the fire when we leave here. Glory! Glory! There's no reason. Why does it take the fire? Brethren, Isaac knowed that they had the fire for the sacrifice. It takes fire in your life, believe it or not. Believe it or not, there's things. And I read to you out of the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, my friend, to where every man's work would be tried, yet so as by fire. Yet so as by fire. Now you can disregard this if you want to, but the truth of it is, brethren, sometime or another in your life, you will get acquainted with the fire of God. Amen. Yes, sir. We don't pay close attention to it a lot of times. Can I tell you something? You know what the book says? It says that God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. Don't tell me he cannot overcome your little penny ante situations, brethren, he's a God of fire this morning.
Amen.
Yes, sir. These things, my friend, that we don't give to God, these things that we try to handle ourselves in a lot of times, in a lot of places. But I'll promise you one thing, if you ever live for God or get close to God, you'll go through the fire to get him. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. There's something about the fire, my friend, that me or you, either one, is not going to do away with. It takes the fire. I wonder sometimes, I really do. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Brethren, these folks that are not very close to God because they don't want to deal with their situation. Don't want to. Not going to. You can be stubborn-headed all day long, my friend, but if you get close to God, you'll allow the fire to burn some dross off of you. Yes, you will. Peter says it like this, knowing that the trial of your faith is precious. Huh? Why is it precious? He said, because you're tried by fire. Amen. Your faith is tried by fire. Do you know what happens to metal when it's put in the fire? Do you know? Do you not know that it goes through different processes and different degrees of heat? Yes, sir. Can I ask you a question? Why didn't the three Hebrew boys burn up? Why? Why didn't they absolutely get consumed in a furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated? Why didn't they burn up? Why didn't they? You say, preacher, God was with them. Can I ask you a question? Why in the world are you handling what you're handling, folks, if God's not with you? These things, my friend, these pressures of just everyday life. Yes, they are. They're situations, my friend, that we all have to go through. And none of us are immune. None of us. I would to God I could tell you, my friend, that me and my family was one perfect family. But it'd be a lie. I have imperfections. I am imperfect. At my best, my friend, is only when I humble and give myself to him.
Amen.
That's it. Only time, best time in my life is when I'm where he wants me to be.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And it takes the fire to get me there. Amen. Yes, sir. You say, preacher, I just don't understand that. Brethren, I'll tell you what he told the children of Israel. This is what he told the children of Israel. In the days of Ezekiel, he said, in the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. Is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. He said, this is what the house of Israel is become. This is what they've become. I preached a message Wednesday night about conforming. Yes, sir. About conforming. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, that the conformities in our life need to be burnt up. Need to be burnt out. That we might shine, that they might not be no dross. Preacher, you going to re-preach that message if I have to? If I have to. The real truth of it is, my friend, we're living in a world full of conformities. And we've got church members that has conformed to the image of the world today. Amen. Yes, sir. We've conformed our lives to a place to where we're dross, my friend. Our true colors ain't shining. No, sir. He said, Israel has become a house of dross. Dross. The brass, their brass, their tin, their iron, their lead. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. As they gather silver, this is how he said he'd gather them. He'd bring them together in Jerusalem. He said, this is as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it, so will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury. And I will leave you there and melt you. Do you hear that? You say, preacher, that wasn't the Lord speaking. Yes, that was the Lord speaking. You become dross. You become conformed. I'm just going to say it. I can't help it, can't get away from it. You've become conformed, and that's the same as dross on silver and gold. And you know what they put it in the fire again for? Put it in the fire again that they might burn the dross. Amen. Burn the dross off of it, that you will be a pure vessel for the Lord to use. Amen. 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 There's things, my friend, that needs to be burnt out of our lives. And brethren, it takes coming to God for it to happen. Amen. The closer you are to the Lord, the more dross it'll burn off. Absolutely. These things, these people that's given up things in this world to live for God. Yes, they are. There's things, my friend, there's people that have absolutely sanctioned their life for the willingness to live for God. Is that, if that ain't going through the fire, if it ain't the fire that burns that dross off, that's what he said. He said, I'll gather them at Jerusalem and I'll gather them just like silver and iron and lead and tin. He said, and they'll be put in the furnace. He said, and I will melt you. I will melt you. There's a reason. There is. There's a reason, my friend, that us as God's people, my friend, has lost our zeal. We have lost our willingness, and we have lost our joy of living for God. Yes, sir. You know, there's a lot of people that's living a Christian life that absolutely despise it. Despise it. Preacher, you've lost your mind. I know what I'm talking about. They despise it, my friend, because it's, they think they've having to give up something to be a Christian. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you're one of them, my friend, you ain't never been born again. Amen. Amen. These things, my friend, these things that salvation brings. Yeah. And brethren, if it don't bring joy and peace and holiness in the Holy Ghost, then you ain't got him this morning. No, sir. No, sir. Preacher, you mad at us? Not a bit. Not a bit. I'm out of order to let them sing before I preach this morning. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult just to tell. Now, sometimes you can just pop up and go with it. I told Leroy, I said, well, I said, hopefully I ain't sat there too long. You say, preacher, it was Sunday school. It didn't matter. Yeah. Amen. It didn't matter. You know, when the Lord gives unction, then that's the time. Amen. That's the time. Amen. Yes, sir. That's the time. When I get finished, you can sing to your little heart's content. You can sing all you want to. The fire, he said, there's one coming who's mightier than I, whose shoe latchets I'm not able to bear, and he shall baptize thee with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I didn't write that. And I didn't say that. That's what the book says. That's what it teaches. There's a difference. I'll say this, it's the same fire, but it's different. It's used in different aspects. Different. Different. Can I tell you something? You not run me out of the country? I believe the night I got saved, I believed eternal life started in my life.
Amen.
Preacher, I don't know about that. Well, I do. Yeah. I know what happened.
Yeah.
I was there. Yeah. Can I tell you something else? Brethren, that clay on that wheel, that potter, my friend, will do exactly what he wants to do. As long as it's on that wheel.
Amen.
If he gets it made and he don't like it, he can just spatter back down, start all over again.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, but listen, once that vessel's off that wheel and been through the fire, yes, sir, you can forget it. she'll never, ever get back on the wheel. Never. Think about it. It ain't fit for the wheel no more. No, sir. You are the vessel. Did I not read to you? You are what? God's temple. Is that not what he said? A vessel meet for the master's use. Been through the fire. Thank God, sent, sealed, and delivered. Thank God. Yes, sir. You go to a pottery house, my friend, you're not looking for clay. Me and Kathy bought a casserole dish. Pretty. Got a lot of color in it. I got the reading on that thing. They send you a little card with it. It said, to cook with this vessel, always put in a cold oven. Always put in a cold oven. Say, preacher, I just don't understand that. If you ever cooked with it, you would. It makes some of the prettiest outcome of casseroles, pies. Yes, sir. But you better put her in a cold oven. Let it heat up with the pie or the casserole or whatever you got with it. Let it heat up with it. Can I tell you something? You take it out of the oven, and I'll just about guarantee you 25, 30 minutes later, she's still hot. You hear me? So if you want to get some of that casserole and eat it, and you want a second helping, you go over and it ain't cold. You don't have to put her in the microwave. It's still got some warmth. There's a reason for making a vessel. The potter, it's in the potter's hand. You say, preacher, he made me. I hear people say this all the time. God made me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made man upright. Yeah. Yeah. Bless you. But he sought out many inventions. Yeah. Yeah. That what the book says? Yeah. He sought out. We've sought out. There's no reason this morning that you shouldn't be acquainted with the fire of God in your life. No reason if you're a child of God. Preacher, I ain't gold and I ain't this and I ain't that. No, but you're a vessel. Meat for the master's use. In a great house, there's many vessels. Vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. That's what he said. All kinds. I'm glad. I really am, Jeff. I'm glad he didn't make us all the same. I'll say this too, my friend, while I'm thinking about it. I'm glad that I've come up through the day that I've come up through.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'm glad. Yes, sir. I'm glad. I understand, my friend, when folks think that they need something a little different than what they're brought up in.
Bless him, Lord.
Yeah. I understand that terminology. Yeah. I thought the same thing. I did. I thought the same thing. I was a 15-year-old boy, and I'll be quite frank with you, I didn't think there wasn't anything I couldn't do. I really didn't. I felt like I know just as much as the next man. I thought my dad was over the hill, my granddad, he was way over the hill. Huh? Yes, sir. They tried to mold me. And you know what, Steve? It worked. It worked. Folks, I believe there's a few years there that my mom and dad both thought they had messed up. Yes, sir. Thought they had messed up. But I'll promise you, when I got saved, I started thinking different.
Yeah. Amen.
I did. Preacher is just 15 years old. Don't matter. Don't matter. I can honestly tell you, best thing to ever happen to me. Best thing ever happened to me.
Yeah.
I was headed on the road for tragedy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Bad road. I was. But I was raised up in a bad road. You hear me? Preacher, what do you mean? It was all around me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Had 8, 9, 10 uncles. 2 or 3 aunts. And all of them folks, didn't know what church was.
Bless him, Lord.
Some of them did. Some of them just as straight as an arrow. There's some of them, my friend, that just played all around the edges. Yes, sir. All around the edges. They done all kinds of things. Got into all kind of mess. I had an uncle 2 years older than I was that he wound up. He liked jail more than he did outside. I know what I'm talking about. Married and had kids. He'd get out of prison. It wouldn't be 2 weeks. I mean, 2 weeks, he'd be right back in there. He'd do something. He wasn't no idiot. He knows what he is doing. He had it made. You hear me? Had it made. What do you mean, preacher? Raised kids and didn't even have to be around them. I know what I'm talking about. Preacher, I don't know anybody like that. I got news for you. You ain't far from them. There ain't a one of us sitting here, my friend, that's far from them. You let this old man go, ain't no telling what he'd do. No telling. Live like the devil himself. A lot of times. I've known men, my friend, that got saved that was good moral men. Good moral men. Better than a lot of churchgoers. Seriously. I know what I'm talking about. You might think, well, preacher, you just running off the cuff. I want you to know it'd pay you to stay close to the fire. It'd pay you to live close enough, my friend, that you knowed what it was when it was sacrifice time to know whether or not you had all the ingredients. Yes, sir. Isaac had no question in his mind. There's one thing he's looking for. Where's the lamb? We got everything, Father. Where's the lamb? Didn't it? Had the fire, had the wood. You say, preacher, was all that important? You go to the 18th chapter of 1 Kings and you see that if it don't say that when Elijah rebuilt the altar, that he put all the wood in order.
Amen.
Amen.
And he lit, and what? He didn't have no fire. Didn't have no fire. Why didn't he have fire? He didn't have fire because fire was the answer.
Yeah.
The fire of God. Yes, sir. But he had all the wood in order. Had all the bullock in order. Yes, sir. And he, when he cried out to God, it became in order. Did it not? The Bible says that the fire of God consumed the sacrifice, licked up all the water, even in the trench, even the dust and the stones that was around there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. By fire. The God that answers by fire. Fire's always been associated in the Bible. Always. Why? Why was it that Nebuchadnezzar, his anger got kindled? He said, heat her up, boys. Heat her up. We're going to be sure these boys don't come out.
Yeah.
He's going to get rid of the problem. You read your Bible and see that when somebody, go back to Achan if you want to. Brethren, when they took Achan, and everything he owned, his son, everything he owned, his son's son, everything he owned. And they stoned them and they burnt them with fire.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It was a consuming. God is a consuming fire. Who does vengeance belong to? The Lord. The Lord. Israel, you have become dross. I'm not here this morning. Be quite frank, will you? Only thing I know to do is preach you what the Lord give me. And the truth of it is, the real truth of it is, I probably should have started about 10:05 this morning. Preacher, I don't know about you. Well, sometimes we'll just listen a little closer to what the Lord might want besides what we might think. I appreciate your attention. I really do. John, do you know that John the Baptist knowed his role? He knowed his role. He knowed his part. When he come into this world, when he come out of the wilderness, that's what the scripture says, he come out of the wilderness preaching. Preaching. The kingdom of God is at hand. Is at hand. What did he say do? He said repent. You know the best way in this world to help yourself between you and God is to repent. Repentance. I'd be foolish in telling you that they're going to be a literal fire, my friend, round about you. But I'll promise you this, if you're a child of the Lord, there's some fire involved.
Amen. Amen.
Between you and God.
Amen.
And it's the reason, it really is, it's the reason that many of us don't like reading the Word of God.
Amen.
It's because it becomes alive. And if you'll let it, it'll burn all the dross off of you to where you're pure in the eyes of the Lord. It will do it. Now you can sing. Sing all you want.